Knockout Rugby time. We've arrived at the semi-finals week. Woohoo!
Yes, excitement levels at fever pitch here as we look ahead to Saracens against Quins on Saturday and Gloucester against Bristol on Sunday.
And we'll conclude matters from the five clubs that have put away the rugby balls for the rest of the season. And we'll be asking big questions like, will Ciara Bevan get a tattoo of a bear and call it Dave?
If we beat Gloucester and we win the Prem,
yeah,
I'll get a bear.
You going to call it Dave?
No, I don't know how I feel about something being called Dave on me for the rest of my life.
Yes, round 18 wrapped up and the upcoming semis previewed, along with Alex Osterbury, Ciara Bevan, and of course news of our competition where you can win tickets to each of those semi-finals. It is all here because that is Philippa Tuttiot. I'm Nick Heath and this is the Power Pod. Well, we are at our penultimate show. It's knockout rugby time. It's business end of the season. Wheel out the cliches, whatever you like. How are you, Philippa?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Gosh, yeah. Looking forward to this weekend. I mean, there were lots of ifs, buts and maybes, but now we know our four and there's just so little between them. It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, absolutely cracking. How are you? What have you been up to? You were down at the Principality, weren't you?
I was.
I mean, it's quite... It does tell a story about Welsh rugby that I'm sort of gleefully asking how you were. You had a lovely time, even though Wales lost 18-27.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Wales against Ireland, pre Warren Gatland leaving and moving on, the former head coach of Wales, people were dreading that game. After the performance in Italy, literally people were dreading it. Then all of a sudden there's a change of coach, Matt Sherratt, who coaches Cardiff, well-respected coach, pretty well-known here in Wales, comes in and you think, okay, there might be a little bounce back. We're not going to dread this game. We're still probably going to concede a lot, but you know what? Just maybe we'll do something a little bit special. Oh my days. I did not see that game going. It was brilliant, you know, and to be in the stadium, what a privilege to feel how good that stadium can be. The Principality Stadium, it has been a somber place for far too long, and to see it in its full shining glory. And honestly, all the fans at the end of the game, like you say, Wales lost, but they performed. We saw the best of them. We saw some exciting Welsh rugby. All the fans up on their feet, clapping, whooping, hollering. Like, it was just, it was honestly, you know, this is an amazing job. But sometimes it's hard to see, you know, a team, you know, I'm a Welsh fan at the end of the day, and it's hard to call them out and when things aren't going well. But when you get those moments where they do perform well and you're immersed in the crowd, it was just honestly, it was like, yes, I am so lucky I get to do this job.
Oh, that's great. My favourite story in the lead up to it was Matt Sherratt doing his interview with Chris Jones on BBC Rugby Union Weekly, another wonderful rugby podcast, and him saying, yeah, well, I had plans to be watching the Ireland game in the pub with my dad and a mate, and I've sort of had to pull out of that invitation. Why is that? I'm sort of off to coach the national side.
And it
turns out that if you pick players who know each other in key combinations, oh my goodness, what happens? So that's good news. And the relief, or at least the sense that something is reset and perhaps starting again in Wales feels like a good thing, right?
I know, doesn't it, Jess? And hey, then we've got Sean Lynn, new coach, taking over the Wales women as well. It's all flying high for Welsh rugby in a split second. Everything's just turned around. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, how was your weekend?
It was all right. Thanks. I was down in Treviso and doing the under 20s there. The Italian youngsters, the Azzurrini, got well and truly spanked by
Blue really?
A. It was a bit of a similar story to the senior game that took place on Sunday. That was all done and dusted. But yes, always nice to have a little trip, but it was very much one of those airport, hotel, stadium. Hotel, airport, home.
So basically, we had the complete contrasting end of what it's like to be a commentator. I had the best time ever and a great game of rugby. You travelled 1,002,000 miles, spent half the time in a car and saw a poor game of rugby.
Yes.
The highs and lows, isn't it?
Yes,
but
exactly.
Hey, I did see your post on social media as well.
Oh, speaking of highs and lows.
Yeah. There's a segue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were right, like... That was quite a deep and meaningful one.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's and look, I know there are people listening to this who have dropped a comment and a supportive remark, and I've been completely blown away by it. For anybody who hasn't seen it, I just wanted to put something out there that let people know that the powers that be that decide who commentates on the world feed for the upcoming Women's Rugby World Cup have decided to use other people, not the person that's commentated on the most club and international women's games of the last decade. Anyway, I'm fine with the decision, honestly. So I've already had a lot of people since I kind of knew a couple of months ago saying, "God, you must be excited about this massive year for the women's game," or whatever. And I am. But aspects of having to constantly kind of tell people, yeah, and I'm not actually going to be commentating on it, was just getting quite hard. Because certainly when I initially found out, it's been a bit of a struggle. So as I said in my message, you know, I've got lots of other work. I should be grateful. You know, there are plenty of others that would kill to be in my shoes. But that has not come to my door. So onward we go. We look at other work that's going to be around that tournament and how else I can choose to bring it alive. I've had DMs from Rugby World Cup winners, from current Red Roses, from former players, and it's been a lovely. I didn't need the validation that I'm a sort of, you know, known voice in this space. My goodness, isn't it a shot in the arm to receive that? And yeah, we will fight. We will continue to be moving forward and working on it. But yes, thank you, and again, thank you to everybody that's been in touch. It's been truly lovely, but. Back to our PWR round 18 review. Shall we get into it? Because again, the final round delivered, and then we can get into our semi-final preview.
Absolutely. So all of these games obviously kicked off on the same day, on the Friday. We'll start with Saracens and Sale Sharks. Saracens 66, Sale Sharks 14. Tough. I mean, just, you know, very composed, very good performance from Saracens, exuberating their dominance, not showing any type of weakness or banana skin leading into their semi-finals. So 10 tries scored in a typically dominant performance. They made three times the meters gained, twice the number of clean breaks, and have finished the season as the league's top try scorers with 92. So that's an average of nearly six a game. That's amazing. Yeah, that's really amazing.
That's pretty punchy, isn't it?
Flanker Gabby Senneth, how good was she? Scored two tries to show why she is worthy to start that game. She made 97 metres and won two turnovers to claim the Player of the Week nod.
Yeah.
For Sale, they scored two tries. Scoring two tries away against Aries, that's, you know, don't take that for granted. But the big news really for Sale is they've got a new coach.
So we've been hinting at this. We might have had a little bit of an inside track, but yeah, let's touch on Sale Sharks news. We knew Rachel Taylor was going a few weeks ago. We've now had confirmation of Sale Sharks coaching ticket for next season. Already announced this week, their new head coach will be the man who left Leicester Tigers, Tom Hudson. Defence coach, having left Nathan Smith's side at Loughborough Lightning, Charlie Beckett. Those two know each other very well, so they're looking forward to meeting up. And then news will be just coming out that the scrum coach is Luke Stratford. Yes, Mr. Zoe Allcroft, as he's known. He was also involved up at Leicester. And they have some big names joining the effort on line out and maul and skills to also be announced this week. Players who players who've been involved on the men's side as well at Sale Sharks. So look, chuck in a couple of big signings that we've heard about. Fly Half and Hooker in particular, Red Roses. Sale Sharks are making a statement at the end of 24-25 ahead of 25-26.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, how many times did we hear Rachel Taylor and continue, you know, Katie Daly McLean saying that this is not a 1-2 season thing. This is a 5-year, this is a 10-year plan. And slowly but surely they're building the squad, they're building their coaching staff. So yeah, let's hope that they can continue with their build for next season and get a couple of more scalps then.
Yeah, and just on Sarries, May Campbell getting her 16th try. So over the course of the regular season, joint top try scorer with Millie David. And I did get a message from a certain producer of another podcast who said, tell me what your style of play is without telling me. May Campbell topping the pile for Sarries with 16, Millie David topping the pile for Bristol with 16, which I quite liked. Also on sale, their end of season awards were last Saturday. So congrats to Erica Jarrell, who was forward of the year, Sophia Stefan, the player's player and back of the year. That's a lovely nod for the Italian. Sophie Hopkins, young player of the year. Congrats, Sophie. And Neve Swales, coach's player of the year. So a few of the clubs are indulging in a bit of end of season stuff. And yeah, delighted to be able to report that. Okay, Gloucester Hartbury 52, Harlequins 12. This is quite the statement to be making at this time of the season, isn't it? This game at Kingsholm. So a home semi was never really in Quinn's hands, knowing that Sarries just had to beat Sale. But for a game that saw 64 points scored in total, it did take until the 20th minute for the first of them. Mo Hunt squeezing over from a metre out, followed a few minutes later by her co-captain Zoe Allcroft. 21-5 at half-time, became 52-12 at full-time. Champions just found that momentum that kills teams off. Three tries in 16 minutes second half. And as we already knew, but is confirmed, Gloucester have finished top of the table in first place, Harlequins in third. A word on Quins, 44 missed tackles, 10 penalties conceded, just three line breaks. This is not the time for your defence to be failing and your attack to be toothless, PT.
No, certainly not. And when you look at the PWR team of the week, there's not one Harlequins player in it. I think that's quite a big statement in itself. It was a shame. I mean, look, great for Gloucester Hartbury. they just do what they need to do. But sometimes what they do is just so efficient and so simple. It's just so hard to break out of. But I just felt really frustrated for Harlequins. I felt frustrated for fans as well, because I was really excited for that game. I really thought it could be a bit of a ding-dong battle. And like I say, credit to Gloucester Hartbury. They just suffocated Harlequins. They pinned them back. They forced them to try and play out, fronted up with some big defensive hits, and just completely stifled their play. It was as if Harlequins kind of didn't have a plan B, you know, or maybe they just didn't get chance to try and implement that plan B. But it really was all Gloucester Hartbury. Emma Singh, again, absolute standout. 9 dominant carries, 191 metres, 61 of them post-contact. So that means she's made a collision, but she still kept going. Like, that's a really important stat to have. Beat 14 defenders and made 5 clean breaks. No player has beaten more defenders in a match this season than she did last weekend. And what a game to do it in. And you wouldn't expect her to do it against Harlequins, you know? We've talked so much about their defence.
Well, it says a lot about where both of the teams, well, I guess, I mean, we're saying that Quins weren't quite in form and Emma Singh finding form. So not that she's been without it this season. But yeah, that... it's rung alarm bells for me, for Quins, for that.
It has.
Going into these semis. But we'll come on to the semis perhaps in a little bit.
So the next one was Loughborough Lightning, 36. Trailfinders, 34. We knew this was never going to be a 6-3. It was never between these two teams, that was never going to happen. It was such a good game, really entertaining. Trailfinders open up first within the first couple of minutes, but then it was all Loughborough Lightning for the next three tries. But in true Trailfinders fashion, they just would not go away. After halftime, the fight back was officially on. Trailfinders score another two tries to make it 33-34. We stroll into the 80th minute. Defence from Trailfinders was epic, but up steps Helena Rowland. Crushes the dreams and elates the Loughborough crowd with a drop goal. What a way to finish that game.
Yeah, we don't see too many drop goals in the women's game, do we?
No, we don't. And in fact, this is really random fact, but Eleanor Snowsill, Welsh former fly half, was the first woman to drop goal in a World Cup, and she did it in 2014. There you go.
Well,
Why that's just popped into my head, I don't know. But there you go.
I think Eleanor Snowsill has had a mention on this pod for about the last three episodes. So I want want to know what she's paying you to keep getting a mention. Hello, Snowy.
I know,
hope you're well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sort of, I was almost going to say Midlands Derby. It's not a Midlands Derby because it's a middle of the table Derby. These two have been snuggled up next to each other, Loughborough and Trailfinders, all season. So, you know, final glory does go to Lightning, who have finished in sixth with Trailfinders in seventh, 3 points between them, 39 points and 36. So well done to Trailfinders. Loughborough have really found better form towards the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Trailfinders, as we know, have been brilliant and scoring a whole load of points all season. Just about shutting the back door on those, I think, isn't it? As they move forwards. Just a word on a couple of notable players. Bulu Mataitonga made her fifth Lightning appearance before she heads to join the Bay Breakers. We wish her the best of luck in WER, as we do to Hallie Taufo'u, who played her last game for Lightning last weekend and heads to the Denver Onyx. Just seeing constant stuff coming out now for Women's Elite Rugby in the USA, which is great. Also news that Lightning Supporters Player of the Season is Daisy Hibbert-Jones. So congratulations to her. And a word from Trailfinders, because Rowena Burnfield has announced that she is retiring. So that is huge news. We wish Ro the very, very best. I loved watching her. Absolute grafter. And I think probably the comment best put was from Rugby World Cup winner Tamara Taylor, who said, "I loved playing alongside this one. Tough as nails, kind, honest, always felt like she had more caps in her." And we wish Ro well as she no doubt returns to the dairy farm. Okay, should we move on to the next one?
Yeah,
Leicester Tigers 19, Exeter Chiefs 24. This was at Mattioli Woods, Welford Road. Tough last few weeks for Chiefs, as we've mentioned. So credit to them for keeping their focus for this one, especially with Tigers in the lead at the hour mark. Hope Rogers opened the scoring for Chiefs 4 minutes in, followed by Dorothy Wall. But then Roisin McBrien, Claire Gallagher, Meg Jones mounting the Tigers tally. And it was Jones who nearly nicked the win with a late penalty before Dorothy Wall got a second try in the pouring rain, a maul into the corner to see Chiefs finish in the end in fifth at 2 points. Behind the Bears in fourth was how that table finished. And for Tigers, it's an eighth place finish with three season wins to look back on.
Yeah, and it seems harsh, doesn't it, when you see just three wins, because you forget how many times they've been in games. Classic example, like this one here, you know, it was so tight. It literally was that end play. And classic how, you know, when you said a typical Exeter play, they'll grind out that penalty, they'll kick long, they'll get a line out and they'll go forward. And that's pretty much how Exeter finished that game. A shout out to Meg Jones, though. What a player. Every week, there's week in, week out, week in, week out. That's the right saying,
yes,
isn't it?
That is,
it just didn't sound right.
Yeah, it did.
Week in, week out. She's just so consistently excellent. Just not like quietly, just brilliant. She made as many carries as any other player of 22. She scored a try. She won two turnovers. She also made two dominant tackles, all of which earned her place in the team of the week. But I also want to give a shout out to Emily Totozzi, the front row for Exeter. She made 26 tackles, the most out of any player on the field. That's really impressive from a front row.
Yeah, it is. And for Exeter, look, they chalked up their second centurion in Ebony Jeffries in her last game. Also, Steph Evans, who announced her retirement. Steph, who's done so much for the women's game, huge advocate, loads of kit, loads of you know, brilliant off-field stuff as well through her clothing company. And Steph's talked about her neurodivergence as well. So, look, Steph, we're wishing you the very best. And also at Chiefs, Rachel Johnson, who is leaving, heading over to play women's elite rugby before that Rugby World Cup as well. Semi-finals time.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I think we can. I think we can. Who doesn't love a good semi? I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. Will we cut that out? We'll find out. Saturday, Saracens against Quins. Sunday, Gloucester Hartbury against Bristol Bears. Here we go.
So Saracens against Harlequins. Just a reminder, this is going to be at the home ground of the Stonex for Saris. So Saris had five players in that team of the week. And surprise, surprise, all of them are forwards. Akina Gondway, Lou McMillan, Gabby Senth, Marley Packer and Poppy Cleal. But also Zoe Harrison has scored as many points as any other player in that. Her success rate off the tee is higher than any of the other top 5 point scorers in the league, 77.8%. And those sort of things could be crucial coming into semifinals, and dare I say it, maybe even the final. Marley Packer made the joint most carries last weekend with 22, seven of which were dominant. She also beat seven defenders, scored a try, and won two turnovers. These players, yes. man. Back in the day when you could just be like, yeah, I made all my tackles. Now it's like, and what? Like, make your tackles, carry the ball, score the try. Like, do everything, please. Otherwise, we're not even mentioning you.
You would have been beating defenders, Philippa Tuttiet, and you know it. I mean, it's the right time for these Saracens players to be hitting their form, isn't it? And that's a great stat on Zoe Harrison. And goal kicking is key. We saw in the men's rugby at the weekend, Finn Russell missing his three kicks, how important that was, not only to the final scoreline, but people already beginning to put marks against him for being the Lions 10 when everyone thought he was a shoo-in. So these kind of things are really important. Just to go into some of those Quinn stats from the weekend, Harriet Miller-Mills made more dominant tackles than any other player last weekend, total of four. She is still doing the business. Jade Conkle-Roberts, the second most dominant carries this season, total of 61. Her gain line success rate is 60%. Ellie Kildunn made the second most meters, 1497, and clean breaks, 25 this season. She's also scored 13 tries in 12 matches, which is a wonderful return. And look, before we sort of get into where Quinns might be, I had the opportunity to sit down with the Saracens boss, Alex Osterbury, this week, and talk to him about how much he is looking forward to this semi-final.
As we know, knockout rugby is a place you want to be, but it's also pretty clear cut, isn't it? You either win or you lose, and there's no second chances. And the last couple of times we've got here and fallen short by the smallest of margins, but we're here again. It's a great testament to the character of the group, and you know, we've started playing some good rugby and come into form at the right time. But ultimately, the form gets you here, but you need to play well on the day. And even then, you don't need to play that well on the day; you just need to get a result. So yeah, really, really happy with the space that we're in and how things have moved forward, certainly, you know, post-Christmas and post the Loughborough game. And yeah, you know, as always, I believe in this team immensely. So, you know, against any opponent, I'm really confident that they can do well and get the result that's needed. And hopefully come Saturday against Quinns, we'll be able to go one step further than we've done the last couple of years.
So do have a listen to my chat with Alex Osterbury. We will pop that out as a little bonus pod this week, as we will with Kira Bevan, who was chatting to Philippa Tuttiet. But yes, Alex very much focused on the job in hand, and Saris really are in a good place now, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about that, you know, finding your form. Unfortunately, it's the complete contrast to Harlequins, isn't it? They've lost the last three out of four games. And what's key is those three losses have come against all the other semi-finalists. So against your Bristol, you know. So
hell of a stat, PT. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Harnessed my inner Nick then. But it is. That's going to be a hard one to try and turn around. You think about that mid-season, they were flying, weren't they? Mm. You know, but sadly they have dipped off a little bit. And, you know, like everybody, we do acknowledge their injuries and slight change of personnel, but still, that's how you get to the top, isn't it? I remember Alex Osterbury at the very beginning of the season saying that they'd plotted their whole squad in regards to who they think might be called up for international duty, who they know will be, who's maybe carrying a niggle, who could be injury prone, and having like squads of A, B, C, and D to sort of manage through all these periods. And I think that just gives an insight into if you really want to go to the top, that's the level of detail that coaches and management are having to go into. And like you say, with those stats, we've still got individuals like all over the place. There's going to be some amazing matchups, but you do feel like the momentum is very much with Saris here.
Yes. And mentioning Harlequins in terms of, you know, they lost Nicole Wide. They've had a few games where Jade Conkle-Roberts wasn't around. Mm-hmm. And we have seen an image where Al Cal is on crutches and in a boot. So I understand that she's probably not going to be featuring in the rest of the season. I mean, there's only two rounds to go if you make both of them. No news on where she is relative to Six Nations and stuff. We certainly hope that whatever it is more precautionary. One of those, I'm hoping at best, it's just a sort of one of those minor stress fractures where it just needs, you know, 4 to 6 weeks rest and then you're all good to go. So anyway, wherever Alex Callender is, obviously a huge loss for Quinns, given what she gives to the game. But we certainly hope she's going to be right as rain as soon as possible.
Yes, such a shame for Al Cowell. She's been performing so well this season. I just hope selfishly that she'll be back in time for the Six Nations. So wishing her well. But look, they've got the quality of players that can still step up and rally around. I just think from what I saw last week, they need to make sure they've got that plan B. They need to make sure they've got something else, because Saracens have seen a pretty good blueprint now from what Gloucester Hartbury managed to do, pin them back, control the territory to be able to control their play. They need to find another way out.
So, PowerPod prediction then. Semi-finals time. I'm putting you on the spot, PT. Who's winning at the Stone X?
I hope it's going to be tries on both sides. I hope we see the best of them. But I do think Saracens will have that composure, that momentum, home ground. I'm going to say Saris by a try.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say Saris by more than that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just think, based on the form alone, and I would love to be wrong. I want a really tight encounter. And actually, these things are always tighter than you think they're going to be. I think Quinns have to find a little bit of that something that they just haven't had recently. They've got to, you know, it's going to be all of the cliches, leave it all out there, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Ross Chisholm and his coaches, they've got to get that squad right in the zone for this weekend. And don't forget, yes, this one is on TNT Sports on Saturday, that 3 o'clock kickoff. My colleague Jenny Drummond presenting. The guest and commentator, co-com, is Katie Daly-McLean. Ashley Wilmot reporting, and Claire Thomas is on the lead mic for that one.
Okay, so moving on to our next semi-final of the weekend. This one will be on Sunday. Gloucester Hartbury against Bristol Bears, again, live on TNT Sports. So let's just have a look at some of the superstars that we're going to have on display. You've got Mia Venner, made 4 clean breaks, 111 metres, beating 11 defenders and scored a try last week. Then we've got Neve Jones, made a round high of 27 tackles, 3 of which were dominant, a.k.a. out. And scored 2 tries last season. Honestly, they were big hits. They were great.
Yes, love that. And yeah, in terms of Bristol, Sarah Byrne in round 17 made the most carries, 23, dominant carries, 11, post-contact meters, 55. She also beat 8 defenders and scored a try. It's never going to get old. By the way, she's a prop. You know, I feel like it has to be, I might get Sarah Byrne a t-shirt that says that. Phoebe Murray, she's made as many carries as any other player this season, a total of 202, average of 14 per 80 minutes. That's a great return. That's what gets you in a Red Roses squad. Millie David made the most clean breaks, 28, and as we mentioned earlier, has scored the most, the joint most tries so far this season with 16. So as you mentioned, PT, this one is live on TNT Sports. It's also going to be the game that the BBC take as well. And Sarah Elgin will present. Emily Scarrett's co-coms. Claire is reporting, and I am on lead com, and I cannot wait for this one. Really excited for it. But you had the chance to sit down with Bristol Bears scrum half Kira Bevan. How did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was lovely, actually, because you just forget we play together for years and you see each other pretty much every day. And that girl never fails to make me smile. She's always got a story or sometimes just a question about life. And you think, really? Okay, yeah, let's ask that. Let's talk about that. No, she's brilliant. I love her. And you just, obviously she carried on playing and I retired and you do lose track, you know, life carries on. So it was really lovely to have a little catch up with her.
Yes. Well, before we get into her comments on the semi-final and what she's looking forward to, I loved this moment because Dave Ord in his presser this week was sort of asked about the threats of Gloucester. And I think referring to sort of English rugby and the talents that they have, Dave said, look, you know, we've got Mo Hunt is like our Antoine Dupont, isn't she? Which obviously the head coach talking about another scrum half as being like Antoine Dupont was just too good an excuse to go to go to Kira with, wasn't it? And so you threw to her that that Dave might have said that her opposition number is like the Antoine Dupont. And well, let's just get a bit of Kira's reaction when she was chatting to you.
Did he actually say that? I'm having words with him later. We took volleyball on Thursday. I'm having him.
Oh, volleyball on Thursday? Tell me more. What's this?
Oh, every Thursday before scales, we just have a bit of fun, play a bit of volleyball. He does go mental with me because I like to punch the ball. So I got to be on best behaviour sometimes.
Turns into murder ball, does it?
Well, I'd be aiming at his head now after that comment.
I think she took it really well. I think she took it really well.
Yes. I got to hit it, smack him in the head. Anyway, that was great. But let's now just get a little bit more from Kira on how she's looking forward to that semi-final.
Definitely a lot of challenges. I know every team has injuries and it's part and parcel of the game, but just the key injuries that we've had and the people that we've lost throughout the season, and you know, some have come back right at the end, but you know, we lost a lot of big players in key positions like mid-season, and that can just disrupt anyone's season, and it definitely disrupted ours a little bit. We also know that we weren't good enough. Like, I don't want to take any way away from Elin and Loughborough, but we weren't good enough against those teams. And, you know, credit to them. They took their opportunities and they beat us well in the end, but we knew we weren't fully on it. Yeah, it's been a bit bumpy, and, you know, we wanted to get top four, and we have done that by the skin of our teeth. We definitely did it the hard way. But I think once you're in a semi-final, like, it's knockout rugby and anything can happen. And if anyone can go away and win an away semi-final, like, it is us, because we did it last year. So, you know, that's factual. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting game on Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, all eyes then on that semi-final, and of course at the rebranded Queen's Home, which we can all look forward to. So they've gone full bore on that again. Anything else you wanted to add on that semi-final? Well, let's just ask you, Petey. I mean, we asked on the last one. What's your prediction for this one?
Oh, hold on now. Don't put me, like, that's a lot to talk about straight away. Look, okay, so Bristol coming in off a bye week, aren't they? We've always, you know, you had a bit of a stat around that, didn't you, at the beginning of the season, that people were losing after that bye week. But that went. But still, it's something to consider. They had that bye week. Dave Ward went away and did his commentary, which actually I thought was very good, by the way.
That's what I was remembering. I wanted to ask you about. What did you think of that?
No, I thought he was really good. And it was just great to get that different perspective, because he did speak like a coach, which is just fantastic. It's all about commentary, I think, trying to engage viewers in maybe different aspects of the game that they might not have known about or seen. And it's that engagement of, oh, okay, they do that for that. And that's what hooks you in. And I thought he did that really well. So yeah, I enjoyed that. But like I say, so Bristol Bears coming in off a bye week. Gloucester Hartbury coming in off a very dominant performance. So slight, you know, difference in their preparation then. We know this season it's been one apiece. Very dominant win for Bristol at the beginning of the season. I say very dominant. Actually, no, I won't do that. We know that it's one apiece for these two teams. It was a close game at the beginning of the season, November, where Bristol won 19-14. But then in January, Gloucester Hartbury, pretty dominant, winning 40-17. And then we go right back and remember that, you know, these two were the finalists from last season, where it was all Bristol in the first half and it was all Gloucester Hartbury in the second half. So this is a really, really tough one to call. Like I say, individuals all over the place. You know, Kira Bem did actually mention in my interview with her, they're away for the semi-final, which typically you would say that is maybe putting you in a poor position. But as we remember last season, they went away to Saracens, to the Stone X, and they did a job. So, you know, there's no fear factor there. I really find this hard to call. I think for Gloucester Hartbury, they need to really focus on that Holly Aitchison, Amber Reid axis, and how can they disrupt that? Because we know how much Bristol like to play and throw the ball around, and those two are key to that. So I think that'll be a target for Gloucester Hartbury. From Bristol Bears' perspective, defensively, it's the tip-ons for me. The little tip-on passes that the forwards can get. Gloucester Hartbury, you get a Zoe Allcroft on a break, and then all of a sudden you've got an Alex Matthews on a shoulder. It's literally undefensible. You know, and then you just got Mo just buzzing around everywhere, just turning the defenders inside and out. So I think there are some key defensive battles there as well. But Yeah, I like the way we've got two slightly different styles of play, and it'll be interesting to see who is able to execute or have the dominance to implement their game plan to see who can win this one.
Yeah, but it's funny, I haven't heard you made a prediction yet.
I know. I am going to say Gloucester Hartbury. 9 wins on the bounce. They're at their Queen's home. I just think it'll be a really big ask for Bristol. So I'm going to say Gloucester Hartbury, but I am going to say just by a try again, I think it'll be close.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'm probably in agreement with you there. I think that home factor will be a key part of it. We've got that game, as I said, live TNT and the BBC. So make sure you tune in, but also they have already sold over 3,000 tickets last time I checked. So get yourself down there, pack out Queen's home, and enjoy. Of course, it could be Ilona Mar's last game as well, if you want to catch sight of the most followed world global player. on social media and all that kind of stuff. So the table as it stood then, as it stands after all of the games are finally done, everyone having played 16, it's Gloucester Hartbury 68 points, Saracens 62, Quins 55, Bristol Bears 53, and then Chiefs 51. Then we drop down to 6th and 7th, which is Loughborough on 39, Trailfinders 36, Leicester Tigers 18, and Sale Sharks with 4. All right, we'll move into the power line then. And we have two contributors this week, two of our regulars. So I feel it's okay to bring them in here. Let's hear from Mikolai and how he is feeling about things.
Hello, Powerpod. Final game between Tigers and Chiefs was a proper entertainment. I have almost lost my voice. 14-0 in the first half, 19-0 until the last moment. Shane McJones missed penalty kick. At the end, Chiefs rolling ball was too powerful to stop. From positives, great to see Tigers improve through the season. Amazing team effort. Crowd was brilliant. Now all eyes on PWR playoffs, Women's Six Nations and Rugby World Cup. What a year. Cheers.
Thank you, Mikolai. Loving your support of Leicester Tigers. And then we also heard from Rob, who was having a phlegmatic look back at the travails of Exeter Chiefs season.
Hot take for the Chiefs post-season, post-mortem. If that Bristol away game happens when it's scheduled, then Chiefs win that game on the back of their momentum from the winning streak. And that would have been enough points to see them make the playoffs. As it happens, they ended up playing 2 games over 6 weeks and just lost that match sharpness, that continuity and cohesion. And even with a superstar like Claude coming back from injury, they just couldn't quite make it happen. Fine margins at times, but talk about a season of two halves. Now, with my PWR fan hat on, seeing Bristol make the playoffs again does feel like the right outcome for the league, considering the eyes that have been on them lately. So fair play to them. But seeing Chiefs finish the season with a 15-person maul to get them over the line against Tigers was the most Chiefs thing they could have done to give Rachel Johnson that send-off back to the US. So thank you, Rachel, and we'll see you back here for the World Cup.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. Keep your comments coming in on the power line, 07880-716-219. Some interesting thoughts there where, you know, points were won and lost over the course of the season. I think, you know, some interesting stuff. And it's been great to have your views over the course of our PowerPod season. Just one episode to go. Right. Now let's move into our one question as we romp through the last few minutes of our PowerPod this week. Last week, we heard back from Lucy Nye, who asked her one question to Sarah Bonner. So here is the Harlequins and Scotland second row with her one question.
Hello, Power Pod. It is Sarah Bonner here. Thanks to my fellow Royal Air Force teammate, Lucy Nye, for my question. My answer would be, if I was to have anyone at a dinner party, it would be Rebel Wilson. I just think, well, I hope she would be as funny as she is on TV. And film. Okay, now time for my one PowerPod question. And I would like to ask Nick Heath, if you could star in any West End theatre production, what would it be and the role? Yeah, who would you be and on what production?
Oh, it's to me.
Such a great question. I can imagine you loving this, aren't you?
Well, I did go to drama school, of course, once upon a time. So I'm gonna muse on my answer and keep you all waiting until next week. But thank you, Sarah. I get to be included in one question. How lovely!
Check you out.
Now, any other business? The PWR final. Look, it really will be like no PWR final before. They have so much planned on the day, or activations, as they like to call it in the business. But they would really love for us to ensure that you all know what's going on. All the clubs and fans are welcome. They want everyone to know that this is going to be a real celebration of women's rugby and of every club in the league, all nine of them, not just the two on the pitch. So there's going to be plenty going on.
Oh, there's going to be loads. And obviously there's our crossover pod for us here at the Power Pod and our good friends at the Good Scaz Rugby. We'll be getting together. But I also love this See You There campaign, where every single PWR player and staff member has been invited to the final. Like you say, it's a celebration of the league and everyone that has contributed to these amazing games, this entertaining rugby that we've been treated to. We know that there are 20 trail finders that are all going and you know, lots of other clubs as well. So anyone is going, make sure you bring lots of stash, because I'm sure there'll be lots of star spotting in the crowd. Get as much, you know, get as many things signed as possible. I'm also loving the fact they've got over 500 girls aged between 11 and 18 taking part in the PWR's biggest ever community festival. So, you know, whenever I've gone to see games, of course it's about the rugby on the field, but the most successful games I've seen at club level are when they've got that off the field right. You know, when it's a real atmosphere. I always love going down to Bath. I think Bath off pitch, you know, they don't do as much of the playing of rugby with the kids and stuff, but there's loads going on there. Loads of entertainment, music, drinks, blah, blah, blah. Make it a whole day's festival. So we're celebrating everything on and off the field. You know, it's great to see that they're really putting the emphasis on that.
Yeah, speaking of celebrating everything, there is going to be the first ever PWR mascot race. And I might have just offered to commentate on it. So that's going to be great. I'm going to have to brush up on who the actual mascots are, so I know who I'm commentating on. I can't believe I'm going to have to do commentary prep on a mascot race anyway. Ever the pro, I think you're fine. And also on the day, I know that there are going to be some red roses waiting to meet fans in the Olympic Bar. So we will have news of a competition to win tickets to the final. But now is news of competition for you to win tickets to the semi-finals, because we have three tickets to give away to Saracens against Harlequins, and we have three tickets to give away to Gloucester Hartbury against Bristol Bears. Head over to our socials at the PowerPod _ and make sure you tag a mate, and we will pick a couple of winners for those tickets probably by the close of play on Thursday. So if you're listening to this fairly sharpish, then make sure you get over to our socials, because we'll pop that competition up there. And then just a roll call reminder, as we've been doing every week, have you got your tickets for the live pod, the ultimate final live show? We will be there. The Good Scaz Rugby, powered by Vodafone, for their live show with us at the Stonex. Okay, Philippa, it is time then for PT's Power Play. Over to you.
Okay, so for this one, I'm looking at the Loughborough Lightning Trailfinders game, because this needed a power play to break the banks. It was so tight. And let me just, in regards to the stats, okay, the stats pack, I have never seen such tight stats between teams. There's always something where you go, oh, there it is. That's why it was, you know, that's why they won, or that's why they lost. But 50-50 in regards to possession, 50% each. 50-50 in regards to territory. Penalties, 9-11. Kicks, 18 each. Line breaks, 9-8. Defenders beaten, 24-25. Like, there was so little in this game that it needed a moment of brilliance. And on the 80th minute, the forwards carrying hard for Loughborough Lightning. There was a call, comes, you know, 5-10 metres behind the ruck from Helena Rowland. Give me the ball. I can do this. Drop goal. Calm as you like. Yet the rest of the stadium and the players jumping up and screaming in the air. And what I love about this is, sorry, it's Nathan, what's Nathan, what's the coach?
Nathan Smith.
Nathan Smith. And what I love about this is Nathan Smith, post-match, when he was asked about this, he said, we've never trained for that. We've never discussed that. That was all the girls on the field, making that decision at that point, Helen Rowland putting a hand up saying, yes, I can do this for us. And it needed that moment of magic because, like I say, this was such a tight game. Credit to both teams for playing such great rugby. But Helen Rowland, for me, you are my power play. You talk about game breakers. You talk about people who are going to put their head above the parapet and say, yeah, on me. And she did it. And she got the rewards. So Helen Rowland, power play, Loughborough Lightning.
Very good. Where do you play Helena Rowland in a Red Roses team?
Oh, gosh.
And that's all we've got time for this week.
You know what? That is a great question because England just have so many superstars along that back row. I mean, the amazing thing about Helena Rowland, you can play her anywhere. She's played at 15, she's played at centre, she can play at fly half. But I almost fear, could she be the most skillful, amazing player that's going to be on the bench?
Number 23, and that, yeah.
You know, for any other country, she's starting. She's starting fly half. She's starting centre. She's starting fullback. But I'm not sure. Okay, so 10, we've got Holly Aitchison and Zoe Harrison. Is she going to knock one of them out? She's in the mix. Of course she is. But is she going to knock them out? Then in the centres, we've got Tatiana Hurd, Meg Jones, Emily Scarrett.
Yeah.
Is she going to knock anyone out or is she just going to be part of that? And then at your fullbacks now, we finally got Emma Singh. She's back in the mix with the Red Roses and Ellie Kildon. She's in the mix, but is she going to knock one of them out? It's so tough. And I feel really like she should be starting. She is quality. But where do you put her in that amazing riches of backline players that England have?
Yeah, luckily not our decision. One for John Mitchell to have to scramble with. Where are you then for the weekend, Philippa?
For the weekend. So it's obviously a fallow week in the men's Six Nations, which quite often then is like corporate dinners and things. So I've got two speaking engagements. However,
very nice.
Which is lovely, yeah. I was looking through the itinerary and I'm speaking after the dinner and the dinner doesn't start till 8. Now, bearing in mind, as you know, I get up at 5 and I go to bed at 9. So I'm going to have to put my big girl pants on, pretend I'm an adult and stay up past 9:30. Woohoo!
Oh, goodness.
I know.
Steady on. I'm more concerned that if the dinner starts then and you're speaking after the dinner, is anybody going to be sober enough to care?
Well, that's great. That's what I'm relying on. They'll find everything funny.
Well, that's good. Good luck with that. Yes, well, I'm going to be nipping along. I'm hoping to get to the Stone X at least to watch that one. But I'll definitely be obviously down at Gloucester Hartbury for commentary on that one. And look, talking of those semi-finalists, well, we heard from Alex Osterbury earlier. And I did ask him a question at the end of our interview about the year we've got ahead, you know, where we're at with the season, what's coming, and actually that responsibility on people come the end of October next season, once we've had that World Cup, and how sort of this is leading to that. Obviously, we've got this sort of 6-month period without the PWR after this final, but I just wanted to kind of get a sense from him if he felt any responsibility pressure about how the course of things will look then. And I thought I'd perhaps play us out with this week. So the Power Pod is a Level production produced by Kayla Matombwa, and we will leave the last bit of hype, the last bit of chat around the women's game to the Saracens boss, Alex Osterbury. We will see you next week. No, in 2 weeks, in fact. We will see you ahead of the final. So no pod next week. And enjoy our last bit from Alex Osterbury. From me and from Philippa, goodbye for now.
It is I keep saying it, I've probably been saying it for the last couple of years. We're in a really unique spot as a sport. You know, we've got the ultimate platform, you know, to genuinely establish ourselves, not just on the domestic sporting calendar, but on the global sporting calendar, and we have to get it right. And that's everybody who's involved needs to make sure that, you know, the things are in place to harness and maximise all the eyeballs that will be on there. I very much hope that, you know, the media, all the sponsorship side of stuff, the broadcasting deals that hopefully get put in place. Because if we get it right now, like, we'll truly give, you know, the platform for this sport to absolutely go stratospheric. And that's where the players deserve to be, you know, what they've been doing for a long, long time, and for too long behind closed doors, or not with the media or the live streams. You know, there's been a lot of unbelievably talented women and rugby players doing some incredible things for a long time, and hopefully we can capture that so that it does inspire everybody, you know, to pick up a rugby ball. It does, you know, give an injection to every club, whether it be the, you know, the local club that someone's going out for their first tag session, or it be someone picking up a ball and re-engaging in vets rugby, or even picking up the referee's whistle. You know, like, we've got a real opportunity, and everyone in rugby, and I know my job's obviously to make sure that Saracens is in the best performance environment, but it's also to make sure that the sport captures this. So anything that we can do, you know, as a club, as an individual, as the league, we have to do, and we have to do it right. Otherwise, you know, if we don't get it right, we'll look back and think, you know, that was a chance. And just like you miss a 2v1 in the corner, you go, could have been a different result. You know, we all want the same thing. We want it to be incredibly successful World Cup and absolutely catapult the sport and the players forward. But we have to get it right. And like I said, that's on the shoulders of all of us. And, you know, when we're greyer and older and we're sitting back watching coaches stress about things, we should, you know, hopefully it's, wow, look at the impact that we made. I mean, very lucky, again, like Amanda Bennett, Emma Mitchell, you know, the legends that have gone before at this club. You know, we're on the shoulders of those giants, and not comparing myself to them in any stretch, but hopefully we can push the game forward so that, you know, in, like I say, 30, 40 years, people are watching and think, crikey, that was the turning point. And hopefully we do get it right. And even if we don't get it perfect, we get it so that we capture enough of it to really build something special.